Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, last Sunday of the year, 12/29/19, it's been an awesome year, but I believe that we've not even seen, even touched the hem of the garment of the greatness of God that we're going to see this year. I believe it with all of my heart. Just a minute. This is kind of with everything I'm bringing today, but this is kind of separate too. I'm going to touch on it right quick. I was just thinking about the hardness, you know, and the things we go through and everything. And we can get to looking at the trial, we get to looking at the things that are coming against us, and we just begin to focus on that, and we just think it's just too hard, I just can't do it, and blah, 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 and on we go with this narrative. But the Lord, the last couple of days, has quickened to me a passage of Scripture, and it began to cause me to see just how glorious that place we're in. This is Romans chapter 8. You know, our biggest enemy is our mouth. It gets us in trouble. I know last week I was talking about, you know, you talk a lot, you sin a lot. And that's exactly how the devil designs it. He wants us to talk ourselves out of what God has already said and our blessings, and get us focusing on something else, so we speak things we do not want. Ooh, that's weird on my ears. Romans 8:18 says, you know, when Jesus went to the cross, it says he despised the shame, but for the joy, he looked past that for the joy set before him. You know, everything that we're going through is for, he's transforming us into his image, making us more like him to where we can do the things he did. So looking past the fleeting thing, Paul said, this temporary, momentary thing. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Several times during the holiday season, I just kept having it. It doesn't matter how bad it is in the world and what we see that's so bad, greater is he in me, in you, than he's in the world. That's our focus. Greater is he. I don't care what they say. I don't care what kind of technology they have. I don't care how damaging it could be and what it might do. Greater is he. Greater is he. If that's our focus, who can defeat you? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let me read that again. For I reckon, out here we know about that word reckon. You reckon? You reckon this and you reckon that? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that what we're going through? The metamorphosis? To be transformed into his image, going from glory to glory, not hellhole to hellhole. It's all about your focus, isn't it? There's been many times I've said it myself, Lord, am I going to make it? Lord, this is hardest thing I've ever been through. How am I going to do it? Somehow I always seem to make it through. Grace. But he's telling us here, don't focus on that. Don't focus on the sufferings. They're not worthy to be compared to the glory that's revealed in us. Jackie and I were talking about, she said, this last thing I went through, it's changed me. I'm different. I said, it's a process that we're going through. This transformation out of the world and its ways into the kingdom of God. This is where he wants us to lead others. This is a process. We had an opportunity to this week to bless somebody. Somebody that's really messed up in their mind at this time about some things. But what we were able to do, it just like it just broke that hardness. The goodness of God. See, we're not here to bash people, tell them where they're wrong. Now, I know the Word of God will do it. The Word of God will say, this is my standard. Where do you fit? That's what the Word of God does the correcting, not the minister. The Word of God does the correcting. It says, gently instruct those that oppose themselves that they may recover themselves. Not that we're going to beat them up and make them feel bad about the way they live or what they do. That's not how it's done. It's about God's goodness. It's all about Father's house and His loving care. So much that He gave His own Son. See, that's what it's about. It's not about judging people, making people feel bad about themselves. Anytime that I was ever done that way, it made me run the other way. Always. But somebody starts doing something nice for you, maybe meets a dream of yours that you had. And you let them know, this didn't come from me, this came from Father. And Father loves you. You know what? In this world, we're going to have to give these people something that makes them want to turn away from what they're in. The prodigal, he was in with the pigs. Well, what happened? When he began to be in want, he headed home. Headed home. How was he received? Father, I'm not worthy to be. He said, put on the best robe. Put the ring on his finger. Let's have a party, man. I've been saving that calf for a celebration. He that's lost has been found. That's what the gospel is. It is supposed to be good news, not bad news. That's why people flee from churches nowadays. They don't want anything to do with it. That's why they're going to flock to home fellowships, because it's intimate, it's personal, it's, I think, loving, nurturing, our little refuge. I can't tell you how many big churches I went to that I was lost in the crowd, and it's like, you know, you didn't know anybody, didn't feel welcome, felt like an outcast. That's not Father's house. Nothing against churches, but that's just my experience. I'm thankful that he pulled us out. We didn't understand, thought we were wrong, all messed up, but I'm thankful that he did. Because now I can see clearly concerning things, that if I was all messed up and I was a clonette, then I'd be thinking the way they're thinking. Well, I'm telling you, the world is in the worst shape that it's ever been. And all these years of the church, it's not gotten any better. So the church failed for the most part. And I'm not saying everybody's a failure in the church. I'm just saying the way it has been is no longer effective, and it's not going to do anything. We've got to change our ways. Father's ways have to come into play. Going about doing good, healing. Not based on, well, clean yourself up first. Then maybe you'll get an answer. No, Jesus, he didn't act that way. Okay, let me finish this. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. This we're going through. This is producing the manifestation of the sons of God. Not the sons of the devil, the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What an honor and a privilege. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption that is the redemption of our body. I thought to myself, Lord, can I do this one more year? For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth yet he hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And then it goes on to talk about the Spirit, help with our infirmities. I've found when I'm going through really difficult times in the last month or so, that when I start praying in the Spirit, I get empowered from within. And it just bumps me up over. It bumps me up. Builds you up. To walk on, to endure what you're going through. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Oh, Lord, help me. I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know what to do. Here's our help. He's the advocate, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, the one that never leaves you or forsakes you. Sometimes it amazes me the little things he'll speak to me about. Things that seem inconsequential. But then when I'm in a real dire strait, he seems to be silent. But he's there. And he's helping and he's aiding. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he is interceding. When you're in your dire straits, he is interceding to the Father on your behalf. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, people pull that out of context. That's not what that scripture means. Well, you know, all things work together. No, it's talking about the Holy Ghost interceding inside of us, God's perfect will for us. Because when you know God's perfect will is being prayed for you, all things are going to work together for good. To them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first fruit among many brethren. So Jesus was the first one that walked through what you're walking through. So I want you to be encouraged today. Yes, there's some other believers that's known the trouble you've seen. We may not walk the same thing, experience the same thing, but we're walking through the same process. You think that caterpillar inside there struggling to get out of that cocoon and it can't be let out before it's time? I remember hearing Joyce Meyer talk about that. She did a kind of a study on that, the metamorphosis, the renewing, the changing, and how the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. And she said one time I saw, you could see the half-finished butterfly was in there struggling to get out, so I helped it get out. Well, it got out and then it fell to the ground and died. See, the process has to be completed for us to be able to walk through the fire, not be burned, walk through the waters. See, that's what it's doing. That's where Paul went when he said, Lord, please take this away from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And then when the snake come out of the heat onto his hand, he just goes. He might have felt like a pile of crap for a few days. A lot of people think, well, he didn't feel a thing. I don't believe that. He was a flesh and blood man. I believe he felt every bit of it, but he decided, no, I don't care how I feel. You can tell from what he'd just been through. What about what he felt? It was what was in here that pushed him over the top. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to keep on trucking and nothing's going to stop me. Not feelings, because everything the devil dishes out to you has to do with your feelings. I feel this. I see this. I hear this. We don't walk by feelings, by sight, the scripture says. That's the five senses. We walk by what we know, and it's in here. But I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. Lord, my life is yours. He sees when we put ourselves into his care, he cares for us. And sometimes it's terrifying because you don't like what the senses are showing. But he's the God of the sense realm. He has his horror freak shows going all the time. It may be in your head or it may be at the movie theater down the street. Same thing. Theaters are propaganda stations. Unless it's a good movie. Which there is a good one I recommend called Overcomer. It's by the Baptist Church brothers, the Kendrick brothers. It was really good. Uplifting. But for the most part, Satan's got his voice and his propaganda. Don't listen to him. Just because you feel that way doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. Just means he's a liar and the father of it. And he's full of you know what, and he doesn't know what he's doing or what he's saying. You must be mistaken, Mr. Devil. I'm already healed. You must be mistaken, Mr. Devil. That need's already taken care of. Excuse me? My father's already taken care of that. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. You savor not the things of God, but the things of men. Is that how Jesus acted? Who are you? As he is, so are we in this world. We're his body. We act like he acted. In fact, the head gives the orders to the body, right? Yeah. Yeah. All right, be encouraged today. Be encouraged, and as we get stronger and stronger, there'll be a day we'll be, Quit begging for him to take it off of you. Danny and I were talking. I said, yeah, there's what I call God standing there. I remember when I first started going through it, really started going through it about 10 years ago, I remember. I sat down and wrote everybody that I thought I might have offended and made phone calls. I'm thinking I must have sinned greatly for something like this to come on me. It was just nearly more than I could bear. Well, I did all that, nothing changed. Spent hours and hours and hours listening to healing teachings. Spending hours and hours and hours doing all these things. Quit watching TV. Didn't do this. Didn't do that. Blessed people. Gave things away. Did all of this stuff. Didn't make any difference. Why? Father's training. You're in the military. It's called the Army of the Lord. I'm telling you, those boys, young women that go to boot camp, they probably think, go watch An Officer and a Gentleman. Old Mayonnaise, you remember him? Just didn't know if he's going to make it through. Had a sergeant that saw potential in him, but he was a smart aleck, and so that sergeant made it hell on earth for him. What did it do for him? It grew him up. See, God has to, as our Father, allow us to go through things because He wants His best for us. And if we don't succumb to His best for us, then He can't deliver His best for us. You understand? There's people that get in the way and block God's blessings and bail out before they're ready. And they're like that butterfly in that half-made between the caterpillar and the butterfly. They're not done yet, and they can't perform like a butterfly. Many, they jump out of the frying pan and fall right into the fire. They will not submit to the disciplining and the chastening of the Lord. He's got to get us to a place that we're not moved by what we see, because I think we're fixing to see. You talk about nasty. I think we're fixing to see nasty like we've never seen nasty before. Because the swamp creatures, they're not only just surfacing on the water, they're fixing to be pulled out of the water. They're fixing to come out full force, and you're going to see the nastiness and the ugliness like you have never seen before this year. It's going to be the glorious year ever. I believe it. I think we're going to see a lot of arrest this year. But when the devil's fully exposed, you talk about some nasty stuff. Stuff you don't want to see, stuff you don't want to hear. But nonetheless, full disclosure. I said, Lord, I want to know it. I know it's hard for me sometimes. There's some rabbit holes that I just still today can't even hardly touch on because I'm thinking I'm not ready, and the Lord will just keep nudging me. He'll say, come on now, come on now, come on now, and I'll start going in that area. And then it gets okay. Waking us up little by little, getting us to where we see everything clearly. That song will really come into play. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. No more this haze of deception that's had us all blinded and paralyzed in our lives. So we stand in a marvelous place allowing the Lord to work in our lives that He can use us for His kingdom. His kingdom's the only place to be. And it won't be long. It'll be the only place. So He wants us to bring as many along as will come. Okay. That goes right into my teaching here. The Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is called Spiritual Fatness. The Return to Father's House. We've got to show people that there's something better than what they're in. The first scripture I want to look at is Isaiah chapter 10. I'll just read it to you because I'm doing it out of the Septuagint. Isaiah 10:27. It says here, thus it shall come to pass in that day, His fear will be taken from you and His yoke from your shoulder. Whose fear? Whose yoke? Satan's. For the yoke shall be destroyed off your shoulders. And this is what the Lord began to speak to me. This is a new day, a day like you've never known. Your nation will come out of exile, no longer on the plantation. Prosperity will rain down and it will break the yoke off the necks of people. This will be so encompassing that the poverty spirit will fall away from people. Also, the poverty mentality will be gone from dark to light, for spiritual leanness to spiritual fatness. Here we have someone in the White House that he uses prosperity, whatever he touches. And what I saw when I was typing this was like, this wave that's coming of prosperity and wealth is going to completely break the yokes off of people. Completely break the yokes, especially in the financial realm. And they'll become so fat that the yoke will never go back around their neck. Never. Isaiah 55. One thing I remember about the prophetess Kat Kerr, she's had many visitations to heaven, and one of the ones that she talked about was down the streets of heaven, there's many businesses. But these businesses run because people are gifted, not because they're working for money. They so love what they do, and they're gifted in what they do, that they share everything they have, and there's no money exchanged. None. She said, I saw this pizza place, and you sat down, and the whole table was round like a pizza, and the whole pizza took up the table, so when you want a piece of pizza, you just spun it around to the piece you wanted. And she said, it was that way all up and down the streets, because everyone had, you know, something they loved to do, and they loved to share, and they loved to give. So people just went in there, and they just took what they wanted. Doesn't that sound like heaven to you? Well, this is what I saw in this. This is what came to my mind. The Lord was saying, people will be so fat. You know, most crime usually is because of poverty. There'll be no reason because of the fatness. There won't be any poor in this country. Isn't that the biggest thing in this country, probably, is people that don't have enough money, and it takes the competition out of the almighty dollar, doesn't it? Because I know with this reset that's coming, they keep talking about humanitarian. How much are you willing to take out of the money that you are given to help humanity, to help in different areas? Because everybody is so rich, they can give abundantly. I'm telling you, all kinds of walls come down in this kind of thing. It's nearly to where you can't hardly even grasp it. It'll be so totally different way of looking at things. If people had money, then everything they did would be because they wanted to. Think about it. You work because you want to, because you have a gift and you want to share it with people. That's your whole life. God loves a prompt to do it giver. The work system was never God's idea. That came because of Satan and the fall. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Is that what I've been describing here? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander to the peoples. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We're talking about a total mindset change. From complete darkness to light, from complete poverty, lack, to wealth. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. You know, in the garden, God gave all the vast resources of the earth to the man to be able to take the kingdom of God throughout the whole earth. Did he have to work for it? No. That was the original plan. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Adam could create. Why did he need someone to finance him? Because he could say. Like God said, I made man and woman in my image and my likeness after my kind. Let them have authority over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over everything that creepeth. We were supposed to subdue the earth, and we were supposed to create with the words of our mouth. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereto I sent it. Can you imagine a nation that gets a hold of this? We don't. It's kind of like Back to the Future. Roads. We don't need roads. Lumber. We don't need lumber. Building B. Think I'm really out there today? For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fig tree. And where everything bad has been, this fatness is going to cause the deserts to bloom. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What's he talking about? The curse, broken. Reverse of the curse. It is started, and there is no stopping it. D5. D5. The biggest avalanche that there is called a D5. It is so wide, it wipes out everything in its path. That's this spirit the Lord's talking about, this prosperity that's coming. Let me read it again. This is a new day, a day like you have never known. Your nation will come out of exile, no longer on the plantation. Prosperity will rain down. It will break the yoke off the necks of people. This will be so encompassing that the poverty spirit will fall away from people. All the poverty mentality will be gone, from dark to light, from spiritual leanness to spiritual fatness. I know the president, he says this is nearly every rally. He said, you're going to say, Mr. President, we're so tired of winning. Can we not win anymore? He says, no, we're just going to keep winning and winning and winning. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures here. Genesis chapter 27. This president, when he sees an obstacle, he doesn't see it as an obstacle. He sees it as an opportunity. Why he puts up with the ones and the corrupt ones in the government. That's how he puts up with them. He sees it as an opportunity because he's a winner. He doesn't lose. He never loses. Get that in your head. He never loses. Neither do we. We never lose. Okay, Genesis 27, 18. And he came unto his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am, thou art my, and that's not it. I must be on a roll on television this morning. There's a bunch of things I didn't get right too. Wrong scriptures, 27, 18. Okay, I'm not seeing that. Well, let me look at 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. That word there is a rich dish, a fertile field, a robust man. These are scriptures about fatness in the mainly the Old Testament. Okay, Deuteronomy 32. Spiritual fatness. 32:15. But Jerusalem grew fat and kicked. Thou art become fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Okay, the word fatness there, 49:24 in the Strong's, is the same word as a rich dish, a fertile field, a robust man. Okay, now Judges, we're going to go through these pretty quick. Judges 9:9.
Genesis 27:28.
Okay, that would explain it. Let me look at that. Genesis 28:28, not 18.
27:28.
Okay, 27:28, just a second. There's not a 27:28. Boy, I'm out of it today. 27. I'm in the spirit today. 27:28. I'm in that rich land. Therefore, God gave thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Okay. Judges 9:9. Like Mike Thompson today. There's times he'll be talking. He said, I'm so drunk, I don't know if I'm getting these words out right or not. Judges 9:9. But the olive tree said unto them, Should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? This word here means abundance. The word fatness there means abundance. Okay, Job 15. Verse 27. Because he covereth his face with his fatness and maketh fat on his flanks. This word here, 24:59 out of the Strong's, is the richest or choice part. Okay, Job 36:16. Even so would he have removed thee out of distress into a broad place. There is no restraint, and that which should be set on thy table shall be full of fatness. This is 1880 out of the Strong's. And I forgot to write. Oh, it means abundance there. Abundance. God's about abundance. He's not about lack and leanness. Psalms 36. The biggest problem in our nation today is not poverty. The biggest problem is leanness of God's word, lack of spiritual fatness. Psalms 36:8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. And for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. Okay, Psalm 63:5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Same thing means abundance. 65:11, Psalms. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. That's abundance. Okay, 73:7. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Woo, I like that. All you could wish for. He's got more than all you can wish for. That right there means the richest or choice part. Psalms 109:24. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. The word there, fatness, it means richness or grease. Think about greasy tacos or just greasy. Think about it. That's how fat God wants us. We just ooze. I'm not talking flesh fatness. I'm talking about abundance. Okay, Isaiah 17. You know, you don't know where you've been until you're not in it anymore. And that's the way it's going to be. Like, at first it'll be so strange. But then you'll be so fat that the yoke won't be able to come back on you. All right, 17. As we grow spiritually, Satan's yokes break off of us. And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall become lean. All right, this right here out of the strong, let me look here. 49:24 means a rich dish, a fertile field, a robust man. Okay, Isaiah 34:6-7. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and against slaughter in the land of Edom, and the wild oxen shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Now you see why the Lord always wanted the fat on the altar. It's symbolic. Spiritual fatness. We already read Isaiah 55, Jeremiah 31. And I will fill to the full the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. 1880, that means right here, abundance. In the New Testament, there's one scripture. This is Romans 11. Verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being an wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, which that meaning there is richness or oiliness. As my word, fatness, begins to change the narrative, you will see my people exchanging their yokes for my yoke. This is Matthew 11. Jesus has talked, when he was here, talked to us about taking his yoke. Eleven twenty-nine or 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So from Satan's yoke to God's yoke. Just think about it. When you've got God's yoke on you, you're free to be who God's called you to be, and your creativity and give and just give and enjoy and love people, because you don't have any yoke on you from the devil that gets you greedy. You don't have to be rich to be greedy. I am the provider of those who are called by my name, not the government. I provide by the sowing and reaping principles. This is the Bible way. No more government handouts. I am issuing in a new government. It is called the Kingdom of God. It is executed with authority and power. Isaiah 9:6 talks about the government shall be upon his shoulders. Revelation 11:15 talks about his kingdom. We'll look at that one. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is the return to Father's house. The world has strayed for so long. So many have been beat up for so long, eating with the pigs. But no longer. It is time for the return to spiritual fatness. This is Father's house. Like the prodigal. He was out there in the hog trough of life, starving to death, and he remembered Father's house. And when he came home, fat calf. Fat calf. Best robe, ring on his finger. Total acceptance. No guilting. Father didn't guilt him. Now the religious older brother did. Well, that son of yours. He didn't even call him a brother. That son of yours that wasted his living with prostitutes. Here, I've served you all these years. You ain't giving me nothing. Religion don't have any place in this. Return to Father's house. Praise God.
Is that it?
No, on that one.